Hello, this is Irene Bullard. I'll be reading the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Tuesday, March the 14th. Let's begin on the front page. Professor's Time Behind Bars, Learning Experience. Eureka College's Lally Goes Beyond Textbook for Research Project. Sitting on a top bunk, legs dangling over the side, an inmate in a Woodford County jail cell had to remind himself who he was. "Your name is Bill Lally," the jumpsuit-clad prisoner told himself shortly after waking up. "You are a Ph.D. professor." But for one weekend in February, Lally wasn't Lally, the Eureka College assistant professor of criminal justice, at least not to fellow inmates and most of the jail staff. For 3 days and two nights, he was Billy Quiggins, an inmate charged with felony drug possession. Lally worked for 2 decades in law enforcement before becoming a college professor. "When teaching a class, I can talk about what it was like when I was a cop," he said. "We talk about what's in the textbook and how that coincided with real life." But he couldn't share such first-hand real-world knowledge about jails and prisons because I have no experience in corrections, Lally said. "I felt I was shortchanging my students somehow." Becoming a jail guard wasn't a realistic option because of the training and time commitment involved, so Lally chose a different option, becoming an inmate. Initially, Woodford County Sheriff Matt Smith said that he was concerned about potential legal liability and what the state's attorney would think about the idea, but everything fell into place. Denny Wirtz, deputy jail superintendent, said, "I was pretty excited about it and was happy to get a new perspective and see what goes on inside the pod." Lally grew a goatee, shaved his head, and came up with this whole elaborate story. But none of the other inmates asked about his background. "I was kind of disappointed," he said. What the other inmates lacked in curiosity, they made up for in helping Lally settle into jail life. They showed him how to use the electronic system for the commissary and how to use his towels to wrap around his spare set of clothes to create a pillow. "They really helped me navigate the whole experience," he said. His biggest surprise? "When somebody sneezes, nobody says, 'God bless you,'" Lally recalled. "There's a distinct culture." Before his weekend in jail, Lally thought inmates were spoiled with meals, television, and other entertainment to pass the time. But his experience showed him that having one's freedom taken away and someone else in control of when you sleep and eat is punishment, he said. "It was very depressing," Lally said. 3 days seemed like 3 years to me." He said both mornings that I woke up, I had to remind myself who I was. Breakfast was a 6-ounce cup of cereal and a 6-ounce cup of Kool-Aid. Yet meals were a highlight of the day, he said. Lally paced a catwalk on the second tier, 30 feet from one end to the other, doing 100 laps before taking a break. He imagined he was his alter ego, thinking, "How much is this going to cost me? How long will I be here? Will I have a job when I get out? How is my wife going to take care of the kids?" He also passed the time by learning to use a tablet available to any inmate. For every minute of movies or other entertainment inmates want to watch on the tablet, they first have to spend an equal amount of minutes watching educational videos such as how to apply for a driver's license. Lally intends to do more research about the use of the tablet and about a video conferencing visitation system Woodford County recently put in place. Guards were respectful, and when he asked other inmates if they always acted that way, they said yes. "I was really glad to hear that," said Wirtz. "We hope we are running a very tight ship here, and it's nice to have that reassurance." Smith said originally he wasn't looking for anything other than to help Lally with his research. But when he called back and said, "Your staff is professional, your facilities are clean," I was happy that I had that feedback, said the sheriff. Lally said, The only complaint I had was the bed was just miserable, to which Smith replied, "If the worst thing you have to say is my mattresses are uncomfortable, that's a pretty good win for me." 5 abuse victims suit seek damages. More than $50,000 sought from assailant. 5 women who were sexually abused as children have filed a lawsuit against the 79-year-old man convicted of molesting them. Harlan Moore is serving 3.5 years for criminal sexual abuse of 4 women starting in 2001 and continuing until 2009. A 4th woman not named in criminal charges but who testified about abuse is included in the lawsuit. The victims, all now in their 20s, were acquainted with Moore. The Pantograph does not name the victims of sex crimes. Bloomington lawyer Jeff Brown said the lawsuit seeking more than $50,000 from Moore in damages is a rarity in civil court. There's a certain level of criminal out there for whom prison is not enough. They need to also lose their assets, said Brown. Moore's victims received counseling services related to their abuse, and the cost of that assistance could be covered by an award from the lawsuit, along with money they are asking in punitive damages, said Brown. There are emotional issues they will have to deal with for the rest of their lives that can't be repaired by the restitution in a criminal case, said Brown. Juliet Boyd, the Chicago lawyer who represented Moore in the criminal case, did not respond to a call for comment on the civil action. In addition to damages for expenses, the lawsuit also seeks more than $50,000 in punitive damages. At Moore's sentencing hearing in August of 2016, the victims told Judge Casey Costigan that the trauma of a decade of abuse as children has been difficult to put behind them. Recurring nightmares, alcohol abuse, and thoughts of suicide are among the lingering impacts of the women. In the normal course of a criminal case, victims are reimbursed for losses through restitution ordered as part of a sentence. A state fund also is available for victims in some cases. According to Brown, a lack of financial resources also limits what most victims attempt to collect from their abusers. In Moore's case, evidence during his criminal prosecution indicated that he has substantial assets, said Brown. The victims reported the sexual abuse in 2013. The McLean County charges involved incidents in Bloomington, but other abuse took place in Iowa and Missouri, according to trial testimony. The women were testified that they were molested during certain holidays or events when they saw Moore. When Moore is released, he must register as a sex offender. State Watch. Macon County owed thousands by state. The Illinois budget crisis has Macon County out thousands of dollars because it hasn't been paid by the state for autopsies performed on prison inmates over the past 2 years. The Herald and Review reports that records obtained through a state Freedom of Information request show the county is owed $9,266 for 5 autopsies on state prison inmates, some of whom were being held in correctional centers outside the county. Coroner Michael Day says the total will climb because a 6th autopsy was conducted since the newspaper obtained the records. The money is owed at a time when the county, like others around Illinois, are struggling financially. The county has already cut department budgets, and more cuts and even layoffs might come with next year's budget. Road closure. Starting at 7 a.m. this morning, 2 streets in Bloomington will be closed while crews complete sewer repairs. Oakland Avenue will be closed from Woodland to Kreitzer Avenues, and Florence Avenue will be closed from Taylor Street to Maysfield Avenue. Drivers are asked to use alternate routes. Today in history. Today, March 14th, the 73rd day of 2017, and there are 292 days left in the year. Today's highlight. On March 14th, 1967, the body of President John F. Kennedy was moved from a temporary grave to a permanent memorial site at Arlington National Cemetery in Virginia. thought for today. The man who does his work, any work, conscientiously, must always be, in one sense, a great man. Written by Dinah Maria Mulock Craig, English novelist, 1826 to 1887. Here is today's Flick Fact. Question. Morris Avenue in Bloomington is parallel to the railroad tracks that run north and south through Bloomington. Why is that appropriate? And the answer is, the street is named after Charles H. Morris, a 19th century train engineer of the Chicago and Alton Railroad. He lived on that street and walked to work. Last storm of season? Time will tell for BN. Twin City crews, warm pavement, keep roads clear in spite of snow. As Public Works Director for the City of Bloomington, Jim Karch has to be somewhat of a weather expert, particularly in the winter. Most of the weekend was spent looking at forecasts, trying to get a handle on a winter storm system that dropped more than 3 inches of snow on Bloomington Normal Monday morning. But I think things went extremely well for our last snow event of the season. At least we are hoping it's the last snow event of the season, he said. That's possible, but it's too early to tell, said National Weather Service meteorologist Kirk Huddle. We can't say that for sure, he said. It's been an interesting year. It's only the third time this year when we have had a winter weather advisory. Previous advisories were issued December the 4th and February 8th, he noted. On Monday, about 3.2 inches of snow fell in the Twin Cities, according to the National Weather Service. We mobilized at about 4 a.m., said Normal Director of Public Works Wayne Aldrich. It was a wet snow, and we used a little bit of salt, and with that and the morning traffic, we got everything cleared pretty quickly. Karch said things went well in Bloomington, too. I was really proud of our crews, and we also had some help because the pavement temperatures were up, he said. That helped keep the streets clear all morning. In other communities, 3 inches were recorded in Eureka, Carlock, and Clinton. Mackinac reported 4.6 inches and Lincoln 4.5 inches, according to the Weather Service. The storm caused the cancellation of incoming and outgoing flights to Chicago at the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, but overall driving was not much of a problem. Huddle said the cold temperatures will stick around for a few days, but a warming trend is on the way. The high temperature on Tuesday and Wednesday isn't likely to get above freezing, but on Thursday the high will be 37 degrees, and even though there is a chance of snow early Friday morning, the high could reach 48 degrees that day. We will hit above 50 degrees on the weekend, said Huddle. That's about the normal high for this time of year. Stats show need for new fire station. Bloomington Chief cites response times. Fire Chief Brian Moore said, Bloomington's 2016 fire statistics reflect the city's need for a new station on the northeast side and a second ambulance crew at its headquarters station near downtown. Our biggest problem in the northeast is travel distance, so we need to build a station and put a resource in that location in order to reduce response time, said Moore. After presenting the department's statistical annual report to the City Council on Monday, currently it can take up to 12 minutes for a fire engine to show up in that quadrant because of the distance from the nearest current stations, he said. He also noted the overutilization of the headquarters station on Lee Street, just west of downtown, as a factor for the department last year, meeting the response time national benchmark of 6 minutes, 66.5% of the time for EMS calls. In 2016, 46% of the department's calls for the entire community happened in the headquarters response district, which encompasses downtown and neighborhoods on the city's northwest side. When the resources at the headquarters fire station are busy, resources from other outlying fire districts are brought in to handle other calls, which on average adds 1 minute and 57 seconds for them to respond, said Moore. To improve emergency medical response times, the Council in December approved a tax levy with a $545,000 increase earmarked to fund a second ambulance crew at the headquarters station. At the meeting, the city's independent auditors offered a clean opinion on the city's financial books, except for U.S. Cellular Coliseum's finances. The fiscal year 2016 audit by Baker Tilly Virchow Krause was delayed because of the transition of management of the city-owned Coliseum from Central Illinois Arena Management to Venue Works in April 2016. The auditor cited the Coliseum as an internal control issue they needed to report. It wasn't a matter of control, but a matter of being in the middle of an ongoing investigation, and some of the information is not available right now, said Bloomington Finance Director Patty Lynn Silva after the auditor's presentation. An Illinois State Police investigation into past operations of the Coliseum under CIAM's management has not concluded, she said. Hales, city right fit for me. Bloomington city manager withdraws from Wisconsin Post picks. Bloomington city manager David Hales is withdrawing from consideration as one of three finalists to replace the retiring city administrator in Racine, Wisconsin. It is my pleasure to serve as Bloomington city manager, said Hales in a news statement Monday. The recruiter working for the city of Racine, Wisconsin, reached out to me and invited me to apply for the city administrator's position. I was honored to be selected by Racine to interview for the city administrator position. Ultimately, I decided that the fit was not right for me at Racine, Hales added. When certain opportunities present themselves, it is worth investigating, especially since I have an employment contract that expires in 16 months. Nonetheless, I am committed to the city of Bloomington and the duties of the city manager. Bloomington remains the right fit for me. Hales was among three out-of-state finalists to replace the city administrator, Tom Friedel, for the Milwaukee suburb. The other two are a former assistant city manager for Lancaster, Texas, and the director of economic and business development for Fayetteville, North Carolina. Racine Mayor John Dickert and Friedel could not be reached for comment on Monday. In May, the Bloomington City Council approved extending Hale's contract 18 months through July 11, 2018, with a 2.3% pay raise based on an annual review that rated his performance as commendable. Hale's salary was increased from $181,026 to $185,090. The contract extension was shorter than two previous contracts for Hales. His initial employment agreement was from December 8, 2008 to April 30, 2009. The city then entered into a second contract with Hales, which expired in April of 2013. A third contract expired January 11, 2017. When Hales was hired in December 2008 to replace retiring city manager Tom Hamilton, he was the finance director in West Jordan, Utah, and previously served as city manager at Bend, Oregon, and Kannapolis, North Carolina. Epiphany students back after water main break. School is back in session at Epiphany Catholic School in Normal. We are good and we are having school today, Epiphany Principal Mike Luton said Monday morning. The school was closed on Friday following a water main break near the front of the school. We had to displace one class, and the cafeteria won't be operational until after spring break, he said. Several volunteers helped with the final cleanup on Sunday afternoon, he added. We expected it to take about 3 hours, but we were done in less than 2 hours, said Lutens. The flood water reached nearly 8 inches in some rooms, damaging carpets and cabinets. The break caused a town-wide boil order that was lifted at 5:15 p.m. Saturday after the completion of water sample testing. The main in the 1000 block of East College Avenue split open about 11:30 p.m. Thursday, and it was repaired by 4 p.m. Friday. Our folks have confirmed that their work related to the main break is completed and it is back to business as usual, Normal Director of Communications Dan Irvin said on Monday. The water department thinks the rupture was caused by a small leak that worsened with pressure from a leaning utility pole. When water pressure dropped below a certain level, federal rules mandated a 24-hour order for people to boil water before using it for drinking or cooking. Increased need spurs energy aid. McLean County groups reach out, help pay utilities. More people are in need of assistance in paying their utility bills in McLean County. So Ameren Illinois and Mid-Central Community Action are hosting a first-time event to help. The customer assistance event will be 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Wednesday at Mount Pisgah Baptist Church, 801 West Market Street in Bloomington. We are seeing an increased amount of individuals in moderate income levels who need assistance in paying their utility bills, said Jennifer Orban, Mid-Central Community Action, MCCA, McLean County Income Support Services Coordinator. Traditionally, LEAP, Low Income Home Energy Assistance Program, assists people whose households have incomes equal to or less than 150% of the federal poverty level. Wednesday's event will offer assistance to people whose households have incomes equal to or less than 200% of the poverty level, Orban said. We have residents in our county who are in that gap, household incomes of 150% to 200% of the poverty level, and they are having challenges meeting basic needs, she said. Ameren has identified 6 communities, including Bloomington Normal, with residents in need and is working with community partners to offer assistance, said Stacy Young, Ameren, Illinois Supervisor of Community Relations. The event allows McLean County residents who are Ameren Electric customers and who are in households earning up to 200% of the poverty level to apply for $150, a one-time energy assistance grant that would be applied to their electric bill, Young said. For example, a single-person household can earn as much as $1,980 a month. A four-person household can earn as much as $4,050. Customers seeking an energy assistance grant should bring photo identification, a current Ameren bill, and proof of their household's 30-day income. We are prepared to assist about 400 McLean County customers, Young said. These dollars, $1 million in customer assistance statewide, have been set aside to provide this assistance, Young said. This is not coming out of customers' bills. In addition, any Ameren McLean County Electra customers who have fallen behind in payments are urged to attend the event because Ameren and MCCA will have representatives there to help the customers manage their energy use and costs by improving energy efficiency, said Young and Orban. Any Ameren McLean County customer who needs assistance but can't be at the Wednesday event may call the number 800-755-5000. 800-755-5000. University names new finance VP. Illinois State taps replacement after Alt's 3-year stint. Daniel Stevens has been named Vice President for the Division of Finance and Planning at Illinois State University, effective April 3rd. Stevens will replace Greg Alt, who is retiring after 27 years at ISU. Alt has been Vice President of Finance and Planning for 3 years. ISU President Larry Dietz announced the appointment Monday. Stevens was Associate Vice Chancellor of Finance for the University of North Texas System from May of 2015 to December 2016. He helped oversee a major administrative restructuring at three universities and more than 42,000 students. Before that, he had senior financial leadership positions at the University of Idaho, Jacksonville University in Florida, and Central Michigan University's Global Campus Division. He also worked in audit, accounting, and financial leadership roles in the private business sector before working in higher education. In announcing the appointment, Dietz said, "His values and leadership align with Illinois State's Educating Illinois mission, and he will play an integral part in helping the university continue its path to success during these financially turbulent times." Stevens said, "It was an honor to be selected," noting ISU has an exceptional academic, athletic, and student success reputation across all of its programs that is consistently identified as top tier, not only within the state of Illinois and the Midwest region, but also recognized nationally. The other finalists were Josie LaRochelle, who most recently served at San Jose State University, California, and Michelle Gates, who most recently served at Columbia College in Chicago. Police search for two Leroy robbery suspects. Leroy police are investigating an armed robbery that occurred Sunday night. Leroy Police Chief Jason Williamson said around 9:38 p.m., police were called about an apparent armed robbery in the woods near the railroad tracks east of the Bradley Park apartment complex. A Leroy officer arrived within a minute of the 911 call and made contact with an individual walking away from the scene, who was later determined to be a second victim, Williamson said on Monday. He said two 18-year-old men were hanging out in the woods, and two suspects wearing hoodies and masks came out of nowhere and robbed them with handguns. The victims told police they were beaten and the suspects ran away. One victim was transported by ambulance to Advocate Broman Medical Center in Normal for lacerations. He was treated and released. The investigation is ongoing, and no other information was released. Anyone with information on this incident is asked to call Sergeant Nathan Wilkins at 309-962-3310. Area calendar. This evening at 6 p.m. at ISU's University Galleries in Bloomington, there will be a League of Women Voters of McLean County WGLT Candidate Forum. It will be for Bloomington Wards 1, 5, and 7. On Wednesday, the Energy Customer Assistance event will be held from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Mount Pisgah Baptist Church, 801 West Market Street, Bloomington, with Ameren Illinois and Mid-Central Community Action. Limited $150 one-time energy assistance grants are available. Assistance to manage energy use and costs also will be presented. Tech It Out from 5 to 7 p.m. will be tomorrow evening at Normal Public Library. Lego, We Do Robotics, Ozobots, Makey Makeys, and others for kids ages 6 to 12. And tomorrow at 5 p.m. at the East Gym in Bloomington Junior High School, there will be a staff versus student charity basketball challenge, and the benefits will be for the Illinois Special Olympics. Admission is $3. There will be a discussion at the Normal Public Library Book Club concerning Take Me With You by Katherine Ryan Hyde. That will be held tomorrow from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Normal Public Library. Here's a sports question from sports editor Joe Deacon. Who holds the record for most points scored in a single NBA season? Answer: with 34 points in a win over the Chicago Packers on this date in 1962, Wilt Chamberlain finished his third NBA season with 4,029 points for an average of 50.4 per game. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour. Please stay.